that introduction, Sarah. You can tell we've had a long day already. We're all getting punchy in Alaska. So, no, this is a great, we're really just really excited to have you guys joining us today, and hopefully this will be a very useful webinar to you about just kind of finalizing some of those last-minute field preparations for the Arctic, and then just really getting into what people are doing to get people to follow along on their expedition. What are some of the creative ideas? And we have some mentor teachers on the line, as well as all of you new people going out in the field. And I believe Robbie and Heidi, Robbie Score is online, as well as Heidi Roots. So we have a good group of people. Before we get started in the agenda and the actual goals, just a reminder about Blackboard Collaborate. I know for some of you it's been a little while. So the slides should be changing in the center of your screen as we go through. There's a list of participants on the right, and there's a chat area also on the right. And if you have a question as we go in, we're a pretty small group, so just click on the hand icon above the list of participants. We'll call on you. You can press your talk button to ask your question and unclick it when you're done. We also have enabled video today. Video does not have audio, but it does allow you to, when it comes turn to present, we can see your pretty faces. And there's Sarah. but you will, when you need to talk, you have to press that talk button to activate the mic. And like everything, we'll be archiving this, so if you have to bug out for some reason or get disconnected, you can view it later on. Anything else?
No. Okay. That's good.
And here's our friendly team. Actually, Kalina was just in the room with the orange hat. She just took off. Yeah, brings back a lot of memories. Good team. So the agenda, we will do a roll call just so everybody can kind of remember where you're going. It will be just like orientation, who you are, where you're going, and that's probably it. So we'll talk about our goals here. We'll go over kind of last-minute logistics. This group is pretty far into this already, so we won't touch on it too much other than to just kind of find out your questions. We'll remind you about some pre-field requirements, then we'll get into the education outreach piece and adjourn after that. All right, so goals.
All right, so the goals of our webinar, we kind of put it out in the email, but really we want to make this a chance for you all to be able to chat with each other about what you have been doing to prepare for your expeditions. We have our partner teachers and alumni who've signed in who can chime in about things that they want to share, and we've got Russell who's fresh back from the Arctic. And so we'll just give you all a chance to be going through and talking about what you've been up to and kind of looking to see if there's ways that you can do some overlap with each other. And just real quick, maybe what we'll do is go back to the slide with everybody's photo and just go down the list. Tell us where you are right now and where you're going. For the folks on the phone, they can know who's online and vice versa. So maybe we'll start with Alicia. Who are you?
Hey guys, I'm Alicia Gillian. I was out at Tulik Field Station. I'm working with Team Squirrel last summer. Happy to join you today.
Thanks, Alicia. Bruce, go ahead.
Hi, this is Bruce Tatterka in New Jersey. I was at Tulik Field Station also, overlapped with Alicia by a day or two, and looking forward to watching Regina work with Rose and George on climate change and in the tundra this year.
Thanks, Bruce. Emily?
I'm Emily. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'll be working in Greenland with climate change and the effect on pollinators, and I leave in less than a week.
Awesome. Thanks, Emily. John, do you have a microphone?
I think I do. I'm John Wood, and I'm one of the alumni, and I just want to hear all the great things. I've been reading a lot, and want to hear all the great things that people have been doing to get ready for their trips. And, yeah, can't wait.
Hey,
Thanks, John. Good to hear your voice. And Lauren.
Hey, guys. I am headed up to Tulik, and I leave in about a week and a half, and super excited.
All right. Thanks, Lauren. How about Mark?
Hi, I'm Mark Musing. I'm talking to you from Illinois. And last year, I was Russell Hood 1.0.
All right. Thanks. How about Peggy?
Hi, this is Peggy. I'm still at school in El Cajon, California, and I'm heading to Nielsen, Svalbard, Norway to do high Arctic change and look at the melting of the glaciers into the fjord, and that will be, July 21st is when I meet up with the team.
Thanks, Peggy. Russell, 2.0.
This is Russell Hood 2.0. I am back from Greenland, which where I was in most of April. Currently thawing out in Florida before I head home to Anchorage, Alaska.
Awesome. Thanks, Russell. And
how about Sian? Hello, everyone. I am going to Barrow, Alaska in the middle of July to study historical ecology and risk management for the town.
And Susan?
Oh, there it is. Sorry about that. I held it down too long. Just happy to listen to everybody's expeditions and hear all about it.
Thanks, Susan. How about Tina?
Hi, everyone. It is 60 days until I take off and join Jason in Greenland to study the vegetation of the receding line of glaciers and also do some sediment coring as well.
All right. How about we have Robbie on the phone.
Hi. I'm Robbie Score. I'm the one that gets you to the field and gives you your stuff and pays the bills.
Yay! We like people that pay the bills.
Thank you, Robbie.
We have Heidi on the phone.
Hi, this is Heidi. I am in New Zealand in the future. It's currently Thursday. and I'm your science liaison. And so I work with you, but mostly with your researchers. But I will be harassing you after you get back from the field. Russell, you know, I'm looking at you virtually.
I think we had one other person joined by the phone. Is anybody else on the phone?
Hi, it's Lisa.
Oh, good, Lisa. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Say hi.
Hi, this is Lisa Seth. It's great to hear everyone's voices again, and looking forward to following all the expeditions. I was a Polar Trek alumni from 2 years ago, and I'm going back. We just got the ticket and the flight information on August 14th back to Alaska to rejoin my research team studying the oceanographic conditions of the bowhead whale out of Barrow.
Hey, Regina, you just joined us. We were doing quick introductions of where you are right now and where you're headed to with Polar Trek. If you have your mic, you can say hi. Your computer might be still setting up. Regina, if you just want to interrupt us whenever you've got a mic working, you're welcome to say hello. But I think we got everybody. And for folks on the phone, we will relay pertinent comments on the chat, but people are saying, we love Robbie, and everybody's excited to say hi to each other and just connecting. It looks like Regina's trying her mic, but we're not hearing you, Regina. So if you want, you could type in the chat box or
okay.
You might take
her mic. Am I there now? Hello?
Go ahead.
Sarah, did that work? Hello?
We hear you.
All right, good, sorry. Heading to Tulik a week from Sunday to work. Okay.
Perfect. Awesome. You guys are freaking us out. I can't believe it's all happening so quickly.
I know. It's like,
All right.
went over the goals real quick. We really want to give you a chance to share. So just as a reminder of how off schedule we are, I noticed in this.
this in September.
What we got carried away with in April and May was having all of your pre-field phone calls. So what usually happens is we have this call and then or this webinar and then pre-field phone calls, but we get to whiz through the logistics part because y'all are pretty much ready to go, which is great. We will do the same webinar for the Antarctic folks. When you all return, we'll start doing Arctic logistic wrap-up phone calls or post-field calls, and hopefully a wrap-up webinar where you all get to chat again about what you've been up to. And then at the very end of all the expeditions for your cohort, we will do a season's end webinar, which we just did for the cohort before you. I think that was just last week or the week before, and some of you attended. So thanks for coming to that. Really quick, if you need a reminder, you have this in your slides of who does what. So Ravi Score with CPS does all kinds of great stuff. You all are pretty familiar, so I won't kind of go through this too much. You could talk to your researchers about what some costs might be. We have maybe one researcher paying for some food and then getting reimbursed, but that's about it. And you all get to send invoices. Here's some reminders about things like that. But first, I will ask at this point, is there anybody who has unfinished business or questions about their logistics for their Arctic expedition? Any lingering questions? You could kind of put your hand up. There's that hand icon. We can call on you. If you have a question or anything that
or type it in.
You don't know the answer to yet for logistics. And I'll be quiet for a second. What you think? All right, Cyan, go ahead. What's your thought?
Hey, Robbie. I was wondering. I'm flying from Barrow back to Anchorage. I've got a couple of days there, and can I just mail all of my equipment from Anchorage to save the cost for you guys of flying it from Phoenix if I pack it up there?
Really, it's not going to save us any cost. It'll save you some hassle. I'd like you to be able to wash things that you've worn that can be washed.
Uh-huh.
Will you have time to do that?
I'm going to be there 3 days, and so, yeah, probably. But I just was wondering if it was an option.
Yeah, it is an option, and I can send you our FedEx information on how you can set up a shipment from Anchorage.
Okay.
So I will... I usually wait until people get bumps because they lose it. So, but I will send that to you right after this call.
And the only other question I was having was, Russell, I know we'd mentioned maybe when I get to Anchorage at the end of June, I was thinking of storing with anybody in Anchorage, can I store my gear with you for 2 weeks while I travel around on vacation and then pick it up when I get back to Anchorage?
And, Cyan, if you're done, you can click your microphone one more time, and it'll be off.
Yeah, this is Russell. Yeah, Cyan, you can do that. We should talk about some details just in case the eventuality came up that I was out of town when you needed to pick it up or something. But barring anything crazy, we should be able to work something out. So let's talk privately about that, and that shouldn't be an issue.
Awesome. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks, Russell. Any other logistics for Ravi or for Arcus? Keep thinking about them. Put your hand up or interrupt me if you think of something. But the other notes, just to remember, if anybody, I don't think anybody is still in school who's going out on an Arctic expedition from now on. But
I'm still in school till the 26th.
Oh, thank you. So subcost can be reimbursed for your expedition. And if that's Lisa, that might be a totally separate thing because you're under Karen.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
You're on your own, sweetie.
No, actually, that one you guys are helping cover, that piece.
All right.
But I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay.
That's fine.
When you return from the field, people often ask us, where do I send my receipts? Send everything to CPS, to Robbie,
And then from there, we will divvy anything up that goes back to Arcus. So everything can go to CPS. Robbie, do you have anything you want to say about that?
No, the only thing that I don't need receipts for is food, because you get a standard per diem. But I need receipts. If you want to be reimbursed, I need receipts for everything else.
Okay. Even if you think that Arcus is going to reimburse you, send it to CPS and we'll deal with it from there. Mm-hmm. Number four, a couple people we've talked to about if you need a travel advance, it could be because you have a big plane ticket that you paid for, whatever it might be. Let us know if you decided you need a travel advance, but we just need to know. And then, of course, before you go, we have the emergency cold weather gear kit that some of you have been using already, but let us know if you want to check one of those out. It's another neat outreach tool that we have for you, just as a reminder. All right, so Janet, you want to talk about education outreach plans?
Yes, so I believe it's still tab 4 of your notebook. It hasn't changed for a couple of years, so remember this in your notebook. So there's a number of things that we went over in orientation and we introduced you to, and some of you have even started working on them and sending them to us. There are things in your education outreach plan that need to come to us before you actually go out into the field. And let me see. I'll go through them, a few of them real quickly, and then I'll also remind you why we're doing this education outreach planning. But the needs assessment is something that you need to do before you go out in the field. It's looking at, again, why, how you've used this experience and how what your classroom looks like. And there's leading questions and templates in your notebook and on the teacher's manual online, as well as on a jump drive you all got. So it's all laid out there. You just need to do it beforehand. And the ones that we've seen so far from the group have been great. And again, you upload these things on your through the website as part of your requirements. So it's on your own to do this, but Sarah and I get notification when they've been uploaded, and we can look at them beforehand before you even upload them. So if you have questions about that, let us know. So needs assessments due. The teacher researcher networking plan, that's also due before you go out in the field. That's how you're going to communicate. If you haven't been communicating, we need to know about that right now. And that's also a place where we can pull Heidi in, like if we're having trouble reaching the researchers, although I think we're doing pretty good with this group. The researchers have been pretty good. But if you need assistance in communicating or getting that research paper or something from your research team, this is where that comes into play. And also, like I said, we can use Heidi to help us communicate better to the researchers about things and get them on board, because we need that interaction. We need some draft ideas about how you would implement this into your classroom, and it could be bullets, points, nothing fancy, just ideas. This is a brainstorming activity. And same with the outreach strategies, how you want to use these experiences in the field, and what kinds of outreach activities are you going to do before you go in the field. And you're going to share some of that with us today. So that's just kind of trying to show you what the education outreach plan looks like. The only thing that's not on here that we added last year was at the end of the field season, and Russell just got reminded of this yesterday. We have a trip report, basically a report that goes out to the public that's due after the field season, and it's basically a product that we're saying, you know, why should teachers go out in the field, what happened in the field, and something that you can give back to the public about going in, about your experience. So those are kind of the elements of education outreach planning. Again, why are we having you do all this paperwork and all these requirements? It's because it hopefully will provide a focus for this professional development experience and kind of synthesize what you've been doing and help you outline some of your ideas, and so it won't be so scattered. And it provides just some documentation not only for us, but it also provides documentation to the researchers and to our funders that, yes, this is a professional development that has some meat behind it. It's not just a field trip out and doing cool things out in the Arctic. It is cool. It's a lot of fun. But it gives it some solid ground and a solid basis that we can share with all these people, and as well as our evaluator. And also, it's a jumping off a point for discussions with your research team and maybe other colleagues about what you want to do, and just a place to capture your ideas and give some meat to the whole thing, as well as in the future. If you need to look back on what you've done, you'll have it already documented, and you can use this to, convince your administrators you need to go on another professional development experience or whatever it is. So it provides documentation. Okay, so with that, putting your education outreach plan to work, a big part of it is the outreach piece, the very visible piece, and some of know how many Arctic people have been doing media. Gotten a lot of media stories from Arctic? Two or three. Yeah, so we're getting, we get the, some of you have been sharing your links with us from, recent news stories, or maybe you got an interview or something's coming up this summer that's been set up. I know our latest star has been Armando. He's been for Antarctic, he's just like dominating the Puerto Rican networks down there. So we've got a lot of outreach activities from him. But you really want to use your ideas and contact the news and the TV and radio and people before you go out into the field. So hopefully that they'll follow you while you're out there, and then you can do follow-up stories behind. And again, we'll come back and see what you have been doing in this area in a little bit. We want you to remember that take the opportunity to do a Polar Connect event while you're out in the field. That does take some pre-planning, and I know a couple of you are already on that track and are doing a great job setting those up before you go out in the field. Also making sure you have, whether you're going to do Skype calls or Google Hangouts or other things from the field, that all needs to be set up before you go. Some of you have been doing like little business cards and sharing the website and where you're journaling with people. That's also a great idea. Since you're a summer group, I'm sure the mentor teachers would tell you, don't forget about all those other audiences. We know your students are going to be gone for the summer, and maybe there's a camp or there's some summer adult groups that get together, or library activities, things that you can draw in the adult or kind of students that aren't in school into your outreach activities. So think about them before you leave, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, all that kind of stuff. There's lists of people that you want to keep, and as things come up while you're out in the field, you might want to send them an email. Sarah and I can do a lot, but we don't have that personal connection with all of your friends and your relatives. So, keep a list of all those things with you, and then if you have a Polar Connect event coming up, or you got a special journal or something, make sure you email all those people and tell them to follow you and subscribe to your journal, or follow you on Facebook or wherever you're announcing the journal and your activities. We want the education outreach plan to work for you. So that's the idea of the drafting the outreach plan, is kind of coming up with these different groups, and then as you near your expedition, formalizing and finalizing who you're actually going to connect with. So right now, it's not really who you're going to connect with when you come back from the field. For most of you that are just starting to go out, it's really who you're going to connect with while you're out in the field, and that's the big one. How are you going to get this out to people while you're out in the field? Okay, any questions about that?
Okay, so we are going to go to you guys in just a second, but just as a reminder of the ARCUS tools for support, all those things that Janet just mentioned, the ECW gear, and these partner teachers that are here online with us. So don't fear contacting any other Polar Trek teachers if you notice, an expedition similar to yours or somebody you want to connect with geographically. Reach out to them, and they'll be there for you. So the next thing we're going to do is turn it over to you all. Go ahead.
This is Regina. Hey, Janet, you said that we need to set up Skype before we leave. And what do you mean set it up with groups here, or set it up, is there some arrangements that need to be made for, in the field before, you know, what did you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is if you're going to use tools like that, and well, certainly Skype, if you're going to use tools like Google Hangout or Skype or even Polar Connect, you know, you need to make sure it works on your computer beforehand and you have your usernames and all that kind of stuff. So as far as, like, any Skype calls that you are prearranged, like if you wanted to talk to your students while out in the field, just your class, that wouldn't involve Sarah and myself. That's not going to be ARCA. It's not like a Polar Connect event. You're just going to call them and, you know, set up the time, and you'll just do your Skype activity. I just mean you need to, when I say prearrange, you just need to do that. You need to make sure that you have whoever Skype maybe, your Skype works, you've figured out Google Hangout, everybody's on board with that, you have all the usernames, all those things, because once you get out in the field, all that stuff's not going to be so easy to do. And as far as Polar Connect, many of you are already doing this, and we really appreciate it. I think this is one of the best years yet, where we actually have a number of you saying, you know, later in the summer, I want to do this event, and I've narrowed it down to this week or even a day, don't know the time, and that is perfect. That is awesome. And that we'll try to remember, you know, to cue you in to let us know more details as we go along. But some I know, like, Emily's got something already set up for a teacher group, and so, you know, we got that on the calendar, and we're going to advertise it here soon, and, you know, tomorrow morning, Andre is calling, you know, last minute one from Tulik. So we're doing all those kinds of things. You just need to kind of think about it. Don't be out in the field and suddenly say, hey, I want to do these things. It needs to be sought out before you go in the field. That's all I mean, Regina.
Okay, you answered my question. Thank you. I still have another question about the Polar Connect.
Yeah, go ahead.
Since I'm scheduled to do Polar Connect about a week after I arrive, could you, Sarah, tell me kind of soon what you need as far as a PowerPoint slide and how to do that, so maybe I can get something together, at least know what to do when I'm in the field. And I don't need to take everyone's time about that, but my Polar Connect will come up pretty quickly.
No problem.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. So we've got Andre and then Emily and then a couple other people headed into the field. I will send all of you the prep email that goes along with Polar Connect events. I believe there is a version of it in your notebook in Chapter 7, but I'll specifically kind of tailor it to you and send it out probably in the next week or so. Does that sound okay?
Good, thanks.
All right. I'm going to take silence. Okay. Thanks, Regina. Awesome. All right, we are going to turn it over to all of you, and I pulled photos out from your journals, kind of ones that I saw kind of spoke to me in terms of outreach you may have been doing or things you've been up to that reach a wider audience and tell us a little more about what you've been doing for outreach and education. So I want to start with Russell. So, Russell, you don't have to speak to these particular pictures. Mm-hmm. But if you want to just tell us what you've been up to for outreach, that would be great. And we'll give each person maybe 3 minutes or so. You don't have to talk too long.
Sure, I'll talk for a few minutes here. You guys noticed some of the wildlife we saw in Greenland there in the upper right. There's some pretty crazy critters there. Anyway, the outreach that I've done since I got back, I got back kind of in the throes of finishing up the school year, so it's kind of an awkward time to return to school. But nonetheless, my students had all seen my presentation through the Polar Connect event that we did in April from Greenland, so I didn't need to really speak to my students again. But I did go to a couple different elementary school events before school got out. Again, I only had 2.5-3 weeks of school left once I got back. But I did make a couple elementary school appearances and gave talks at a couple different levels to some of the students there. It was fabulously fun. I really, really enjoyed that. So I squeezed those in as the school year wound down in terms of that sort of public outreach. I have yet to do anything other than that yet, but that's what I started with. And that worked out really well.
Thanks, Russell. Perfect. So maybe what I'll do is, if anybody wants to kind of chime in to what a teacher is saying, they can do that in the chat box. If you want to do it verbally, you could put your hand up. I know there's some folks on the phone, so we'll repeat whatever gets typed in there that's pertinent. And anybody on the phone, you can just plain interrupt us, okay? All right. So I'm going to turn it over to not Andre, because he's not here. He's out catching squirrels. But this is a good chance to plug his, what do you call it, solar to polar work that he did with his classroom. So on the left is this sort of solar part of this project they were doing kind of down in the desert and then went all the way up to what they can consider close to their polar regions up there in Colorado, talking about the ecosystems as they went and his expedition. Tomorrow morning, he is hosting a Polar Connect event. It's at 8 a.m. Alaska time. And if anybody can come, you are welcome to join it. He's going to have a great audience from his school. So that's a little bit about what Andre's been up to. And our next one is Emily. Go ahead, Emily. Tell us what you've been up to.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Well, I've been doing several things. So just to start within my classroom, I have used the cold weather gear kit, and we've talked about how I'm going to stay warm and how animals stay warm. And we've just looked at pictures and some short clips of the animals found in Greenland. And we've talked about how come some have brown fur and some have white fur. We have, if you look at the upper left-hand corner, there's some postcards. I'm having my kids design postcards of what they think Greenland looks like. And when I get there, I'm going to mail them back to the students with the link so that they can remember and check in and also get official Greenland postage. I've had my kids come up with some questions and use everyone's journals to try to answer their questions just so they get used to using the journals and looking through it. So if you have a really random comment on any of your journals, it's probably from my kids because some of them are pretty bizarre. I've also had the kids come up with some questions and little experiments I'm going to carry out. Some of them are about, are chemical reaction rates the same here as they're going to be in Greenland? So just a simple one would be the Mentos and the Diet Coke. Is it going to respond the same way there where it's colder as it is in a normal area? Some items I've been using, you can see I have a business card. And on one side is just my name. The other side has the website and also my QR code that takes it directly to my website. I also have pins made, which is on the upper right-hand corner. Once again, it just has my name, what I'm doing, and the website. And then the right below that is my stamps I got made that I'll stamp the postcards with. And I've just stamped random things. And it has the QR code and just a quick reminder. What is not on there is I had some coffee sleeves made with basically the QR code and my name that are going to be used in the coffee shop and a bookmark with student artwork that's being printed currently that will be handed out at a bookstore. I've had a couple of events. Yeah, last weekend I went to a coffee shop called Coffee Times. It's a local coffee shop. And I just stood by the door and anyone that came in, I just talked about what the article was and what I was going to be doing. I handed out business cards, and I had some posters. If you've been following my journal, you've seen the before poster, which is a wreck. But I have better pictures now that that's done that I'll probably be uploading tonight or tomorrow. Additionally, they're going to be giving me a pound of coffee. And the idea is they give me the coffee, and then I take pictures in Greenland of me drinking the coffee. And I'll send it to them, and they put it on their Twitter, or Instagram, Facebook, their website, and they're going to put my link as well so people can follow along on my coffee drinking adventures. I've also had an event at Joseph Beth Bookstore, and I set up probably about 6 tables worth of materials. I had my presentation, and I had some demonstrations like the cold weather gear, blubber hands. I had a little CO2 demonstration. I had a sea level rising demonstration, and I also had, there's a group in Kentucky called Bluegrass Beekeepers. And since my study is about climate change and the effect on pollinators, they've become very interested. So they came with some hives, and they did a little miniature talk too. And they're actually becoming very involved, basically all of them, which is a group of about 60, said they're going to follow along because they're very interested in how this is affecting pollinators. Postcards, I'm also providing the postcards to the community, just like my students, so they can color them and I'll send them back. And the coffee shop in the bookstore, they're naming a coffee drink after my adventure. And I don't know what it is yet. People have had it. I think it has honey in it. I'm not for sure. It might have lavender, so kind of pollinators and flowers. And they're going to put my custom-made coffee sleeves with the QR code on it when they serve the drink, so people can get my drink and information about the study I'm doing. Also, when I get back, they have a story time every Saturday morning with kids. And while I'm over there, my mom's a reading teacher, so I'm going to send her some pictures back, or she's going to get them off the website, and she's going to make or start to make a book with me in it and the pictures I use, make a big size book. And then when I get back from my story time, I'm actually going to use my homemade book to present to the kids and probably have some hands-on demonstrations and fun stuff because they'll be young kids, like first and second grade. Additionally, I've also been to an elementary school, Ashland Elementary, and they've given me some postcards, and I've talked to them, and they've looked at the cold weather gear kit. And before I leave, I also have a news story coming up on TV, and I'll be in the newspaper probably on Friday or Monday. I also have a Color Connect coming up in June. There's a teacher conference of all the science teachers about the next generation standards, and I'm going to present at the end of that to all of our science teachers in Fayette County and surrounding areas. So that'll be about 100 science teachers that will get to hear. And all my information's been sent out to Fayette County teachers, so it's everywhere. And after I come back, I'm also going to have another TV news appearance. I'm also going to present at a national bee conference, although I've told them I don't really know much about bees. They would like for me to come at the end of July and just talk a little bit about what I'm doing. I'm also going to appear on the school TV station and the school newspaper, and I have a couple of schools lined up when I get back that I'm going to talk to. And I think that's everything.
Oh my gosh, Emily, I'm exhausted just hearing it. I am really excited about the bee conference. If you can get us like a t-shirt or something from the National Bee Conference, that'd be great. That's awesome, Emily. Thanks so much for sharing it all. Again, if anybody wants to comment or throw anything out there, folks that are online are just saying, this is so cool. Emily's awesome. I love that it's a coffee expedition, things like that. And our next teacher is Regina. So, Regina, tell us just a little bit about what you've been up to. And Emily, just turn your microphone off by hitting talk again, and then Regina can talk. Oh, perfect.
All set? I've been making connections with media sources and talked to a lot of reporters, both in locally here and then in my hometown in Pennsylvania, and they're going to be following the expedition and featuring stories there. At schools locally, I did a polar science presentation at our district science fair, and then in an elementary school. And it was really well received. The kids really liked the lessons much more than I expected to, so that was really good. And in my classroom, I had the cold weather gear, and that was really fun, too. Once I'm in the field, I'm going to connect with a preschool in Seattle, so it's kind of fun that even the little kids are really interested in this. My students will be out of out of school, but I've asked them to send projects that I can do online, and then we'll journal about their, excuse me, not online, but in the field, and then I'll journal about the science projects that they are, or experiments they're wanting me to do. I sent a press release to NSTA, and they're going to have an online mention of Polar Trek. So that'll be cool, and that will be in their next online newsletter coming out, I'm not sure the date, but pretty soon. I'm getting some, borrowing some probes from Vernier, and so I'll be using some of them in the field and calling them one of my sponsors and posting information that I use with Vernier probes. And then they're going to talk about Polar Trek and the expedition in their company newsletter. So that'll be a nice way to link to get to a way to kids can collect science data. I'll be Skyping with a girls' science and technology camp called Tech Trek, and that'll be the first week of July again. Sometime these girls will be in Stanford, so that'll be good to get. So trying to establish some media, you know, the basic media things, and done outreach at schools. And that's, you know, it's good if things are getting well received. The stamps have worked well. My kids, I used the stamp that I got from online store, and kids really like that too. That's about it.
Awesome. Perfect. Thanks, Regina. I really love that stamp. It's very, very cool. And, you know, she just kind of emailed us one day and said, what about making a stamp? And Zeb went ahead and made the logo that worked. And so just ask us. If you guys have an idea, sky is the limit. Just send us an email. Let's see. Yeah, Russell said he took 3 Vernier probes to Greenland with him as well. Susan says that's a great idea. Teachers can relate to using them. Okay. Next on our list is Lauren Wattel.
All right.
And Regina just hit the... Oh, you're good. Sorry. Go ahead, Lauren.
Okay. Yes. So a variety of things I have been doing. Sort of the biggest thing was that I did take a trip out to meet with Byron, my researcher. Went out to Oregon State for a couple of days and met with him and the grad students, and really had a wonderful time seeing the lab, figuring out what this expedition was really all about, what his goals were and hopes were, and getting those really in line with mine. So that was huge. We also met with Jane Luchenko when we were out there. She's also a professor there, and I had connected with her previously at an alumni event at my undergrad. And she talked to us about how to communicate science with the lay audience and really gave us some good tips and pointers and ideas just in terms of how to communicate. And I went and visited the 4th and 5th grade kids at St. Mary's on their last day of school. That was kind of the last chance, and it happened to only work at that point. But took over some of my gear, not the ECW gear, but my bug shirt, the boots, some gloves, and had them kind of think about, if I'm wearing these things in the field, why would I wear them? What is the field like in the Arctic tundra? And then had them brainstorm what are some of the animals like and all of that. And that turned out to be really great. And they also came up with some questions so that I can journal about those, and hopefully excited a bunch of them to follow along as well. I had my high school students create species journals, which they went onto the TULIC website and pulled up the Naturalist Journal and looked at what species exist there, and had them then each research and create sort of a little page about the natural history of that organism, so that even though I'll be focusing on microbes, I could still bring in sort of the larger fauna and have them see some of their own work, and then the younger kids are going to try to sort of scavenger hunt for that through the journal as well. And I journaled about composting and some of my different
run-ins with microbes here and some of their larger impacts and thinking about that. I have, in terms of media, contacted, it feels like, every single media organization I can come up with in the Denver metro area, sent out news tips and story ideas to newspapers, TV stations, both local and sort of the more major ones, and radio, and have only actually heard back from one of them, but that happens. So I'll hit them again later once I'm back, probably. I created a video to explain how to connect to the event or to the journal, and I've been posting that in all of those media outreach things, as well as many different groups I can think of social networking-wise. I had some students take on the task of social networking outreach for me because I wasn't as versed in some of their social networking streams. So hopefully through them I have gotten more students to follow along in the expedition since they're all out of school. But for the Polar Connect event, I have sort of it's called the Challenge Foundation, which is a high-risk group of kids that does a summer program. They're going to be meeting to watch the event, as well as it'll be hosted at my school, and it'll be open to the community. And so hopefully more people will join in on that as well. I've made the business cards, like Emily's, with the QR code, trying to get those out there. Trying to think what else. The Denver Zoo, I am trying to coordinate with them and their summer safari camp. They do an Arctic curriculum day. I'm trying to see if we can set up a Skype during that day from the field or possibly coming in after the fact and talking to them on the Arctic day when it repeats. So we'll see if we can get that situated. Still in the works at the moment. But I think that's it at this point that I can think of.
I see I'll end with, that's it.
This is a lot.
They're like, whoa. Thanks, Lauren. I hope people are noticing, that there's a lot of overlap, but a lot of diversity of the different things you guys are trying to do. People in the chat box are just talking about different verrier probes and sound level meters and all kinds of stuff. So that's what's going on there. All right, next we have Miss Peggy McNeil.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi.
Yep.
So I was kind of waiting to see what pictures you were going to put up there and thinking about what I was going to say. So I'll start with down bottom. Over spring break, I was in New York City to see my daughter, so I hooked up with Michelle Brown, and I spent the day teaching all of her classes. It's an earth science class, but they were on their astronomy unit, so we talked about why in Svalbard the sun won't set and inclination of the earth, and then looked at the inclination of some of the other planets, so that's what that is. And then I told them all about Polar Check and how to connect with the classrooms that I've been visiting. We've been doing take a closer look questions where they're coming up with questions and decorating them that I can use in my journals once I'm out there. And then let's see, picture top left, I also taught some classes in Georgia. That one is an astronomy class with college students. So I taught the astronomy lesson and then told them all about Polar Check as well and what we're going to be doing and connected them. I see your comment, Russell. And then with my own students, we've been practicing with my journals and some with Russell's about how to connect and ask questions. And I think they've got the bugs out at least where they're not hitting the send button 20 times and the questions appearing that many times. And then also I taught a biology lesson to a high school in Georgia, which was really fun because it turns out in Svalbard, their species of reindeer is the smallest one that exists because they've been trapped on that island chain and they evolved to be like little mini reindeer. So we talked about evolution and that with the high school in Georgia. So let's see, what else? I've been putting up some journals. My next one is going to be a Meet the Team. I have been emailing, my research team is all undergraduate students, in addition to Dr. Brigham Grady and Dr. Powell. And so I've been doing some email interviews of the six students and why they got into science and recommendations that they have for kids. So I'm going to be putting up a journal with all of them and the Meet the Team. Let's see. In my classroom, I have been just the last couple of days doing some neat lessons with mock core samples and beads that represent different species of diatoms, and the kids have been graphing that and then coming up with how that can tell about past climate. And like I said, they've been working on the practicing talking to me on the journal. Today they all tried on the cold weather gear, and that was fun. They wanted to go over to other classes and see if the other kids could figure out who they were, because you can't see anything on them whenever they have all the cold weather gear on. I have an article in my local newspaper, and I've sent press releases to a couple of other ones. I'm doing a big event with the Girl Scouts this summer. They are getting together a group, and they're going to meet three times. The first time is for me to tell them about the expedition. We're going to make polar sundaes and do the blubber gloves and try on the extreme cold weather gear. And then they're going to do the next session without me during my Polar Connect event, and they're going to view that live as a group. And then a follow-up after I return. And I'm going to speak this summer to the Naval Academy Alumni Association. So that's an adult group here in San Diego. Let's see, what else? For me personally, I took a couple of GPS classes through REI because we're going to use GPS when we're out in the boat. I even went down to the target range and got a little practice out there because we have to do rifle training for polar bear defense. And I took an outdoor photography class, and I put some of those photos up on my journal as well. I started a Twitter account, and on my journal I have a little button that says follow me at whatever with the little bird, and so that is something that I'm trying to do, and when I'm out there tweet quite a bit, and that's one way that I'm trying to get kind of the younger crowd in on it as well, since school won't be in session. So I liked your idea about Emily about, or maybe it was Lauren, I don't remember, but about getting the kids to kind of help me with the social media, because I think that's a good way to kind of connect with them. I've liaisoned with the Naval Oceanographic Office because I do have some Navy connections, and so they are working with my two researchers and trying to see how the data that they have and can make available to us can fit in with the student research projects. And then also we're going to do a Skype session while we're there with the commander of the Naval Oceanographic Office to kind of mentor the undergraduate students and give them some like advice on careers and what they can do in their future. And let's see, I think that's all.
Awesome, Peggy.
So there you go.
I would like to calculate how many hours of sleep that Polar Trek gets as a team.
Oh my god.
Which is like less than 10 total in the course. You guys are great. So next we have Cyan.
Hello everyone. I had postcards made that were double-sided that talked about where I was going and when I would be there and how to connect with my blog page. And so what I did was I gave them out to all of my students, and then I also gave them to everybody in my department and all the faculty on campus to spread the word before the semester ended. Then I also did a high school presentation and gave the postcards to them. And then I sent, because I'm not teaching during the summer, and then I don't have K through 12, I have six nieces and nephews, so I sent all my siblings packages with the postcards in them and to hand out to their kids to give to the kids at the school. And my sister and my brother-in-law are both teachers, and I said in the note that if they
if they would distribute these and talk to their students about them, then I would promise to come next in the fall and give an in-person presentation to all of their schools. And so I think that's going to work out really well. And then I had the cold weather gear sent to me, and Jillian came down, and we did a co-presentation at the Arizona Science Center, and that went really well. And so we're going to do a follow-up presentation for them when we get back. And then right now I'm in the process of, my research team had money for internships, and so I got three of my students to apply, and one of them was selected, and we're in the process of working out what she's going to do. And it's going to be, unfortunately, she didn't get selected to go up to Barrow with me, but we're doing, I'm going to mentor her, and she's going to be doing outreach and some research projects while I'm in Barrow and following up when I get back. And so I'll be using her in cool, unique ways.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. And our next one is Tina. And I will say that the person on the right is not Tina. It's just a Google person using a satellite phone, because that's what she's working on right now. But I will pass it over to Tina.
Thanks. I'm glad you clarified that. I have spent, you talk about no sleep. So I have spent the last 48 hours trying to get that satellite phone to do what it should do. And I finally hit success about an hour ago. When I got back from Polartec, I made a movie to explain to my students and the staff just my experience at the Polartec orientation. I don't have any of my cold weather gear because I'm going to get outfitted in Greenland itself. But when I got my sat phone, I brought it to school and I offered any of the kids that they wanted to call home. So one student who's pretty reliable decided to call his dad at work and prank call him. So it kind of set me up. I was really fortunate that my researcher invited me to Buffalo to join him at an Arctic survival training camp. And then he drove out here about a month later and presented to all of my students and staff about, and that's a picture of him on the screen as well. And so the kids really embraced that, and I think took a lot more away from that than when I presented it, because they looked at him and thought of him as a real scientist. I was trying to think the other thing I was doing. So I work on a whale watch every weekend and most of the summer, and I do a lot of discussion about the environment and the condition of the North Atlantic. And the company I work for has put a little blurb of me in their brochure this year. So there's also an exhibit there, and they're going to track me on a Google Earth screen that's going to be displayed. Where in the world am I while I'm in the Arctic? So I'm pretty excited about that. My future students, I'm meeting with them on Thursday the 11th, and their assignment will be to follow me in the field, and they'll have to post questions to me and also plot where I am. I can't remember what else I've done. I'm also going to be going back to where I grew up in the Adirondacks, and meeting with the schools up there before school gets out to present to them as well. So that's what's been going on here.
Awesome. Thanks, Tina. And so lots of things are going on in the chat box for the folks on the phone. We started talking about Instagram or Twitter accounts mentioned by Peggy mentioned Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
And then people said, oh, what about Instagram? And we're talking about hashtags that we should be making up, and we're going to try and have a Polartec Instagram account and maybe Tumblr. And, you know, Jana and I are here in the backwoods of Fairbanks, Alaska, so we got to get up on the hip stuff, such as Instagrammings. But we're working it out. We'll see what happens. And Joed, whom a lot of you met, is going to help us out with that.
All right, we're going to pass it on to Lisa. Lisa, there's a couple pictures, and they're mostly from old journals from your last expedition. And I think you have slides that you've seen, you know, your webinar photo and you visiting Christina out in Point Hope, that kind of thing.
Yeah, hi, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Oh, great. So it's great listening to everybody's ideas, and I also love the idea of getting the kids helping hook me into the social media. That's terrific. So I'm talking with, I guess, about five other schools, and they're brainstorming at how they can connect. And I started off during orientation. Actually, all of my students were doing writing pieces based on my past Polar Trek journals to help get them hooked into what the original research was and how it's going to continue, and also what we were all doing up in Fairbanks. And they got a kick out of Russell and Andre falling in the river a little bit, and but they really enjoyed knowing what we were doing while we were doing it. So that was great, and it was nice writing opportunity and nonfiction for them too. And then while I was up there, Susan did a great video of me reading the book Recess at 20 Below, and I contacted the author just to make sure it was okay to put the entire reading of the whole book up on YouTube, and she said it was. So it's actually there, but it's in a private account because I'm trying to manage my time better, which if you remember was one of my discussions up during orientation. So I'm trying to create some videos ahead of time, not a lot because obviously I'm not up there, but a few things based on some of the things we did during orientation. But I did send that Recess at 20 Below reading out to all of our elementary teachers, and the kids, and they went nuts. They loved it, and some teachers had to show it like four times. And what it did was a really nice side benefit. It got the kids like rushing to our library, and I only had a couple copies of that there, but I had made sure we had a lot of polar nonfiction on the Arctic and Antarctic, and it was a great hook to get them, and so they had a rush on all of the nonfiction books that were there, which was really great. And then I've been pushing into the grades, so that was also a nice startup conversation for the younger grades. I'm also doing the postcards again, and it's fun to see other people doing that too. And so the kids will, across the school, which is almost 700 kids, will be all doing their own drawings of Arctic scenes that they're interested in, and then I'll be sending those to someone in Barrow, and they'll mail them back to all the kids so they get the stamp from Barrow as a reminder that the expedition is about to start. We just finished a pilot project I was working with our art teacher based on the native masks that we saw with inspiration from the Museum of North. And we've decided to start out small to see how it went. And so we had three kids make masks with the newspaper strips and the cast materials, and then add some traditional things and do some traditional things to masks based on Inupiat culture and other Eskimo tribes around the Arctic culture. But then we also encouraged these three girls to use some local materials for their masks. So I was just taking pictures of them wearing their masks today, and they came out great. And the art teacher's really excited to make that a larger project with more students next year.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. So the next slide here is about the alumni.
Which is great.
What I'm going to do for
And then I'm also doing a pilot. I'm trying my hand with some students, letting them. I'm the cheerleader because I really don't know anything about robots, but I'm a good cheerleader. And this was what Jillian mentioned, underwater robot out of California. So we have it, and we're just starting to take it apart. And we'll pull out the pieces to put together, and then the hopes is we'll finish it over the summer.
Hey, Lisa, I'm so sorry if I jumped over you. My audio got really awkward for a hot second there. Sorry about that. But thank you for sharing. Thank you. So our next slide is for alumni to just comment things they had done previously, but what I'm going to do is jump over to Robbie if she's still on the phone, if she wanted to jump in and address anything or have any questions.
Yeah, I have to leave, so I was texting Sarah to say if I could jump in here. All of you guys, I mean, are going to have so much fun. This is just an opportunity that I know you all get, that this is like the coolest thing in the world. I am always going to be available. You can always email me. I myself will be going to Greenland June 22nd through July 23rd, but I'll be online, and I can also phone. So if anything goes wrong with your flights or, you know, whatever, and you need help, you always have somebody there. So don't worry about that. You can email me questions anytime. And God, you guys are going to just have so much fun. I can't wait to see and hear about all your adventures. I'm going to definitely be watching your blogs. And Sarah actually is coming with me to Greenland for a few days. And so we will be with Emily for a little bit. And also, the other cool thing is I only live 3 blocks from Lauren. And Lauren and I are going to go out for a drink in a couple days. So it's just fun being in touch with you guys. And work hard, but have fun.
Yeah, people in the chat box are saying that you are awesome. Robbie is the best. Janet says, thanks, Robbie.
Oh, you guys.
Thanks, and woohoo.
Lauren says woohoo. I think she's ready for that drink.
So what we'll do now is we just have some all nice photos here, folks who have been out in the Arctic previously. Some of them are on the call, and so maybe we'll kind of go through, and the folks that are on here, if you want to share an idea or comment on something that you heard previously, whatever your parting alumni wise words of wisdom are, I'll pass it off to Mark. There's the first picture.
Yeah, and listening to all the great ideas, my advice would be to pick a few that play to your strengths. You can't do everything, and the people that are going into the field are doing some amazing things, but any one person can't do it all. So do what plays to your strengths, and pick a few and be good at those things. And you can never do it exactly like someone else. Go back and look at the journals from people that have been on those expeditions before, if you're on a multi-year project, and look for things that are missing. Russell did a journal and video on weather in Greenland that was fantastic, and that was definitely original and fresh, and it was brilliant. People have mentioned the Bernier or Pasco probes. Don't forget that your iPhone or Android phone or iPad also has a million different apps, including things like magnetometers, inclinometers. You can use the GPS features. There's light meters, all those kinds of things, too, that you can add a little technology even if you don't have the Bernier or Pasco stuff. And finally, the research and the locations that we all go to are amazing, but never forget it's the people that we connect with. It's kids, it's teenagers, it's adults, it's senior citizens. So tell the story through your eyes and through the eyes of your team, and or even let the team tell their own stories in their own words. And that's all.
All right. Great ideas, Mark. Thank you so much for sharing those. I think we have next we can hear from Alicia.
Well, I'm just so impressed with all the ideas that you guys have shared so far. You have some fantastic outreach ideas. I think that one kind of practical suggestion that I would have that works well for me is I had kind of a one-page spiel about my Polar Trek upcoming expedition that worked really well for sharing with media, and it helped that I had pictures in that too. Even pictures from orientation worked well. And I worked with my district kind of media contact person, and she sent those out before I went out to the field, and I had better luck getting in contact with media, news, newspapers, when she sent them out than when I did, because she already had relationships built with media. And when I came back from the field, I updated it with pictures from the field, and she sent that again for me. And I probably had like 3 or 4 calls within a day or two to set up interviews because she'd done that for me. And that one page was a really big success. I was able to put like links to a video that I had that was an overview of my whole Polar Trek experience that the media really liked and used pieces of. A lot of you mentioned social networking ideas for outreach, and those are fantastic. I actually got a lot of opportunities when I got back from the field because I had posted on Facebook links to my journals and things. Teacher friends that I had forgotten were on my Facebook that were in other districts wanted me to come and talk to their classes when I got back because I had posted those and they followed the expedition. So I would suggest using the social media as much as you can. And kind of building on what Mark said about keeping your audience in mind as you're creating your journals, as you're working with people, you just really want to be sure that your journals don't get too stuffy. Keep your kids in mind, keep your family in mind as you're working on those. But I think this sounds like a fantastic group. You've got a lot of great ideas. I look forward to reading your journal.
Thanks, Alicia. Great ideas. Okay, so we have Susan.
Hey, wow, everything just sounds so great. And I was just thinking today as I was looking at Andre's journal that none of my kids have their own laptops or computers, so we just look at the journals together on the big board. And it's so nice. One of the pictures he posted of was this beaming grad student. And just don't forget in your journals to put lots of great pictures up that show the really cool environment that you are seeing every day. And then and then those happy people that are scientists and researchers that you're working with to show what a great career they've chosen. So anyway, just it's great to hear you guys. Thanks.
Okay, good idea. John?
Yeah, I don't have much to add at this point. You guys are doing fantastic things in a lot of them. That's great. I guess, one of the things that I always think about out in the field is, getting too busy and getting too wound up and, you've got your researchers there and everything else. Just make sure that you keep those lines of communication open with them. And, don't be afraid to take a little time off or sequester a little time for yourself to, either get your work done or whatever you need to do during the expedition. And also don't be afraid to, hit up some grad students and some of the co-PIs or whoever you can to, help you with some of it. Write a few blurbs every once in a while. Put something in and add a little different color to things from that perspective. Most of them are usually very happy to go ahead and contribute and be part of that. So, and that helps a lot in the long run. So, yeah, good luck to all of you.
Thanks, John. How about Lisa? Any last other thoughts?
Did
we lose her? Lisa, did we lose you?
Sorry, no sound, Lisa says.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Heidi.
Let's see. Wisdom. I don't know if I have much wisdom, but what I can say from a researcher perspective is that you guys should be sure to share what you're doing with your research team, even if it's just a quick email. I mean, this list is impressive. I want to bring all of you to do field work with me. So you should just let them know. Send them the postcard that you've made. I mean, that kind of stuff is really great and exciting for them to see and stuff that you would probably never think of because they're often not that creative. So it's awesome. I'm incredibly impressed and eager to follow along your journeys. And just remember that researchers are people, too. I think that's an important thing. And, yeah, as John said, tap the students, learn from the grad students, learn from the other people around you, and roll with the punches. It can be often very stressful in the field. Sometimes this is the only chance we get to get data for our own work or for a postdoc or a PhD student's thesis. So it can get stressful, but you can often help to diffuse that stress and just be a team player and have an awesome time. I think that's it. And send those postcards out. I want one. I'll give you my address.
Yeah, I was thinking along those lines, like if you've created a bunch of little materials or even just something simple like that to send a note off to your research team, mm-hmm. even before you leave, to say, give them a little care package to say, here, this is something for you guys, or, you know.
Check out the stamp.
The stamp or whatever, or some little tidbit from a student. Yeah, they'd be probably pretty excited to see that. Okay, I think, Bruce, you're up.
Okay, I don't think there's anything much I can add after what everyone has said and what the plans are, but I guess the one thing I would say would be, again, kind of like what Mark said, to play to your strengths and realize you can't do everything. When you get back from the field and you're planning for school and you're back in the classroom, you're going to be overwhelmed and just realize you can't do anything, everything. And the one thing from my experience was also not to get discouraged. In the fall, I went around and planted a lot of seeds. I went to libraries. I submitted abstracts to meetings. And I didn't hear back from people very quickly, and I got a little discouraged. But in the late winter and spring, everything kind of exploded at once, where the newspapers got back to me, and libraries wanted me to come talk, and then it turned into other opportunities. So, don't get discouraged, and I think things will come your way if you do all the things that you're talking about doing, which sound really amazing. It's all going to work out.
All right. Thanks. And folks are just kind of putting into the chat box here for anybody who's still on the phone. Just, take care of yourself and be safe. Enjoy it as much as possible. We're talking about getting those science apps that Mark mentioned. We'll get a list of those. They sound pretty neat. And you can remember Michelle Brown's presentation is Slow and Steady, and we'll include those Antarctic folks on their webinar in a couple of months. And let's see, just reading through, making sure there's no other questions that are in the chat box. But we're wondering if there's any big remaining questions from people. Anything you thought of, alumni, anything that you want to add? And Lauren put her hand up. Go ahead, Lauren.
Okay, so my question goes into sort of the copyright issues, just a clarification piece. I have a journal that I'm getting ready to post once you guys give the all clear about where the Arctic is. And I want to include a map because that's a logical thing to include. But I know Google Maps and whatnot are copyrighted. Do you guys have maps? I couldn't find any, at least easily, on the image. I'm blanking on its name right now. But I'm just trying to figure out how to get that in there that I can post without getting in trouble.
So a couple things. Heidi is relaying to me that a good start for that is to actually get a map from your researchers, because they often make their own maps. So that might be something to just get from them. And plus, it would probably include their study site, something that's probably more useful and pertinent to your journal. The Google Maps, you can use them. You just have to give Google Maps credit. The other place, this is a resource for everybody, and it's kind of one of those hidden secrets of ARCIS, but we will type in the URL for the Internet Media Archive that ARCIS has, and I think we introduced it to you in the orientation, but this is where all your photos go and live after you give them to us, but they also have maps, and we also have logos there. And I am positive there's an Arctic map there because we've used it for publications. So, and whether the map comes from your researcher or it comes from Google or it comes from ARCIS, you do need to credit it to whoever it is properly. So does that help you? Okay. Yes, so just part of part of your description will actually include a credit to that person. So when you submit it in your journal, it becomes part of your description. Your little caption.
Questions from a couple people are mentioning just different websites to use. So you can go to the Tulip website for maps. Government agencies, Mark was mentioning, have good ones. And then Peggy had a question about if you could see a list of who subscribed to journals. I put that question out to Ronnie just now, and if he answers right now, I'll let you know, or I'll get back to you, Peggy. Also, when will the website be ready to go again? We are revamping the site right now, and we are crossing our fingers that it is going to be ready at the end of this week. As soon as it is ready, I'm going to send an email out to the same group that got the first one to say don't post anything. So thanks for your patience. I know a lot of people have things they want to post, so it'll be up as soon as possible. Let's see. Just trying to go back through these. Oh, take pictures of yourself doing things, and then when you're doing your Polar Connect event, have somebody back at school take pictures of kids at your Polar Connect event. So, you know, back of their heads from the back of the classroom or something like that. Thanks for all these tips. Looks like you guys are connecting about particular things. I'm just going through the chat. Janet says, take photos of women in science, please. I hope you guys saw those new Legos that just came out that are women in science Legos. They're awesome. But otherwise, I think that's it, unless anybody else has other big questions they want to ask. I think we are good.
Maybe you could take the Legos out in the field and take pictures of the Legos.
Peggy, Ronnie is saying that he would not like to give out the entire email list, but if you want to know if there's a specific person, we might be able to let you know. Contact us further if there's something particular you're curious about. Maybe we can just get a number for you, number of people subscribed, something like that. All right, I think everybody's good. Thanks for joining us. This has been an awesome webinar. It's been great for us to be able to hear what you've been up to in one big group. And don't forget to connect with each other in the next couple of weeks, and we'll have lots of Polar Connect events happening and journals flying around. So we'll let you all go. Thanks so much for a great afternoon or evening chatting.
Yep, it was. It was great to listen to you all.
Hey, take care.
Thank you, Sarah and Janet, a whole bunch. This was wonderful.
Thanks, John. Have a good summer. Bye, everybody.